Jacob. And now let's see what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, as we look in on the little community today, we find the squire in the Jotham Down store trying to sell Abner on another plan dealing with the mechanical man. Listen.
Well, Abner, I wish you could see my point. You're missing a chance of a lifetime by not cashing in on that robot. Why, we could make a fortune with that thing.
Yeah, well, I told you, Squire, it don't belong to us, though. It belongs to Dr. Fontaine Grill.
All right, we'll cut the doctor in on it.
Do what?
Give him a slice of the profits. I'm sure that he wouldn't mind making a few dollars, Abner. All the inventors that I've ever known have generally been broke. He can use the cash for further experiments, too.
Well, Dr. Grill left it here for me and Lum to take care of and told us not to monkey around with it, Squire. Said for us not to even look in the box and see what it was. That's why I couldn't let you send that article about it into the paper yesterday.
Yes, yes, I know you explained all that to me, Abner. But I still say it's unwise economics to permit that robot to walk around the store here and not charge folks to see it, Abner. That represents a non-producing potential source of man-hour units lying idle at a time when the country can ill afford such a waste of marketable wealth. Isn't that right?
Well, when you look at it that way, what did you say, Squire?
You're exactly right, Abner. I knew that a man of your business acumen would see that in an instant.
He did, huh?
Yes, congratulations.
Well, thank you, Squire.
Now, here's the way we'll start, Abner. I'll get hold of a tent, and we'll put it up down there by the flagpole, and I'll have some signs made extolling the rare and amazing abilities of Robert the Remote Control Robot.
Well, wait a minute now, Squire. I ain't agreed to this yet.
I'll even don my checkered vest and personally do the barking.
Barking?
Yes, the pitch.
Are you good at that?
Oh, I used to be the best, Abner. There was none better on the old Sneed and Reedy Carnival circuit.
Well, what do you do best, an old hound dog or a feist?
No, Abner, you don't understand.
If you want my notions on it, Squire, I don't want to hurt your feelings now, but I don't believe nobody around here is going to pay good money to see you bark like a dog. I believe they'd rather watch Robert do things.
Well, Abner, I just meant that I would stand out in front of the tent and advertise the show.
Well, I don't see how you can advertise it just standing there barking. Folks are liable to think you're a little catch, Squire.
Well, I'm not going to bark like a dog, Abner.
Well, I don't know what else barks. Well, except my seal. Is that what you're going to do, imitate a seal?
Oh, me.
I'd love to see you do that, Squire. Hey, go ahead, give me a sample of it. Bark like a seal.
I can't do it, Abner.
Oh, go on. Don't be bashful. I can open up a can of sardines and throw you a fish if it'll help any.
Abner, I tell you, I cannot imitate the seal or any other animal.
I seen a seal in a circus once that could play the Star Spangled Banner on a batch of little tin horns. Can you do that, Squire?
Listen, Abner, this stops this foolishness right here now. A barker in a carnival is a man who stands out in front and tells what's going to take place on the inside.
Inside of the seal?
Inside of the tent, the show, Abner.
Oh.
Now, Pine Ridge ought to be good for two or three days. And then we'll move on, play Cherry Hill, Mount Ida, Odin, a few places like that till we... get the act polished up, broken in good, then we'll move on to the big towns. I tell you, Abner, we can make a fortune out of Robert the Robot.
Well, it sounds good, Squire, but See, we can't do it, so you might just as well drop the idea right here and now.
Well, Abner, you've got to do it. You don't realize what a wonderful invention that is. I've seen lots of robots before, but none that have ever been worked out to the amazing degree of proficiency that this one has. That remote control box there is an amazing thing.
Yeah, I know it is, Squire, but we can't make a carnival out of Robert. I know that.
Well, now, wait just a minute, Abner. You say that Dr. Grill owes you some money. Is that right? That's why you hired Robert to work in the store.
Yeah, that's why we hired him.
All right, if you really want to put him to work and have him make a lot of money, why, follow my suggestion. There's no difference, and this way you'll not only get back what's coming to you, but you'll make yourself a handsome profit besides.
Yeah, but, Squire, the minute we take him around and show him off in other towns, why, Dr. Grill will find out about it just short of the world. Then he'll have us sold right in the penitentiary.
Now, listen, Abner.
Wait a minute, Squire. Yonder comes a customer out there. But I'll tell you right now, Squire, I ain't going in with you on your idea. I'll tell you that. Well, good morning. Good morning. Come right in. What can I do for you?
How do you do? I'm making a survey for the Department of Children's Health and Nutritional Welfare.
Well, that's nice. Won't you sit down?
No, thank you. Do you employ any juveniles here?
No, Mom, just people.
I mean children. Do you have any in your employ?
No, I reckon not. Me and Mom ain't hired no extra help for a long time. That is, except Robert, of course.
Robert? How old is he?
Oh, law me, I don't know.
Well, is he under 16?
Oh, yeah, way under that.
Well, we're concerned with him, then. First of all, we want to know the conditions he works under, his hours of labor and all that. How long does he work per week?
Oh, per every day, as long as we can keep him going.
What? What was that?
You ought to have seen him yesterday. I had him lifting 100-pound sacks of feed mite now all day long.
Good gracious. You're going to kill the little fellow.
Oh, no, he's strong. That don't bother him at all.
My dear sir, don't you realize you're liable to impair that child's health for the rest of his life? Perhaps stunt the little fellow's growth?
Well, you don't need to worry about that. The little feller, as you call him, is over 7 foot tall right now.
Over 7 feet?
Yes, Mom, and he weighs around, I don't know. What would you say, Squire?
Oh, 400 or 500 pounds, Abner.
Oh, grief. What kind of a creature is this?
Well, he's quite a looking sight. You ought to see his eyes light up when he starts to move. They turn green.
My dear man, the business of guarding the health and welfare of our young people is serious indeed. And I'll appreciate it if you'll stop making a mockery out of it.
No, well, we wasn't doing that. I'm just telling you the truth. Wasn't we, Squire?
It's the undeniable truth.
Well, who are the parents of this extraordinary child? And what do they say about the way you're treating him?
Well, they don't say nothing because he ain't got none.
He's an orphan?
Well, I reckon you might call him that. See, a feller by the name of Dr. Grill left him here with us, and he went on to Washington. Fact is, he don't even know it. We've taken him out of the box.
Out of the box?
Yes, Mom. Dr. Grill brought him here in a box.
Good gracious.
So, we're taking care of him now.
He stays with you in your home, does he?
No, Mom. We keep him back there in the feed room.
Good gracious. Well, what about his nutrition?
Mom.
Well, does he get a balanced diet or proper vitamins? In other words, what do you feed him?
Don't feed him nothing.
What?
We just give him some oil now and then. That's about all he needs, near as we can tell.
Oh, they'll never believe my report. How in the world does this Robert stay in one piece?
Well, he don't always.
What?
See, part of his left knee keeps dropping off, but I think I've got it stuck back on to where it'll stay now.
You put it back on yourself?
Yes, Mom. I'll take him some bicycles.
Good grief. I've heard enough. But you'll hear more about this from the supervisor. I've reported cases of malnutrition before, but never.
Well, for the land's sake. Now, I reckon why she run out of here in such a huff that way.
I think, Abner, it might have been wise to explain to her a little more explicitly that Robert is a robot.
You mean she thought he was an actual human?
Well, I'm afraid so. And I'm also afraid that you've got yourself in some trouble, too, Abner.
Trouble?
You see, she's going to start an investigation now. And she took down Dr. Grill's name, so he's bound to find out what you're doing with his robot now.
Oh, my goodness. Well, why didn't you say something, Squire?
Well, inasmuch as you didn't feel you wanted me to have anything to do with Robert, I didn't think it was any of my business.
Oh, me. Well, what am I going to do, Squire?
Well, I'll tell you, Abner. I have influence with certain officials, and I may be able to straighten this out for you before it goes too far. However, I would expect a little favor in return.
Oh, sure, anything at all to get me out of this mix-up, Squire.
All right, fine. All you have to do, Abner, is to agree to go in with me on my plan to take Robert out on the road.
Oh, now, wait a minute now, Squire.
That's my terms, Abner. Take it or leave it.
All right, Dogus. Well, looks like he got me, Squire.
Yeah, that's the way I like to hear you talk, Abner. We'll get underway next week with the world's greatest attraction. Hello, car. Hello, car. Right over this way, folks, to see Robert the Robot. The only one of his kind in captivity today.
Listen again for Lum and Abner and their three rings on the Pine Ridge party line. Meanwhile, good night and good health to you all. Gene Baker speaking. This is the American Broadcasting Company.